These were not protected. They were insecure. They had no roots in the land. They had no possessions. They had no wealth. They considered themselves as Tishabim, and the others as Geirim. When a person considers himself as a Tisha, and the other as an alien, as a foreigner, then he's bound to become corrupt. Why is there so much hatred and prejudice against Jews? Because the Jew has been living without a country. He has been considered as a foreigner, as an alien in every land. He had no roots in any land. And when the Gestapo inquired from Hitler, Yimach Shmoy, as to what should be done with gypsies, should the gypsies be spared or the gypsies should be exterminated? Do the gypsies have a dean of Jews or as non-Jews? And then the answer came, the gypsies are Jews and Jews are gypsies. Tainahach. What connection is there between gypsies and Jews? It's true that many Jews intermarried, but no sociologist, no anthropologist will say that the Jews intermarried with gypsies. We haven't deteriorated so long. The Jews should intermarry with gypsies. So why is a Nazi equate the Jews with gypsies? The answer is obvious. Jews are not rooted in any land. Jews are Geirim. They are like seeds that can be tossed by every wind. And gypsies are Geirim. That's the philosophy of the gypsies, to be Geir. Not to have any roots in any land. Consequently, Jews are gypsies. Gypsies are Jews. Gypsies have to be exterminated, just the Jews are to be exterminated. And this is the reason for all the injustice that goes on in the world. This is also the reason as to why the State Department is so much concerned with the attitude of the Catholics residing in South Vietnam, even though the Catholics are only minority. Because after all, the Buddhists, they are only Geirim. Catholics, they are more civilized. They have roots in the land. It is their opinion that should prevail against the desires and the wishes of the Buddhists, even though they are majority. It's all because of the concept of considering oneself as a Teshuv and the other fellow as a Geir. But the right attitude consists in saying is not enough. Saying means in being motivated by the concept of Geir, Vishishov, and Echimov. Primarily, one is a Geir. Once he becomes imbued with this concept of Geir and Echi, then he can attempt to establish roots for himself. Now, the Torah requires of the human being, is there a chumash here? Requires human being to be a Teshuv if it is coupled with Geir and Echi. It's not only that the Rebbeinu Shalom granted a license to men, and that applies to all men, not only to Jews, but the Rebbeinu Shalom actually conferred upon every man the task of becoming a Teshuv, as long as it will be coupled with Geir and Echi. How can one become a Teshuv? How is it possible to establish roots in land? How is it possible to attain security for oneself? There are two methods. One method is the method of kibush. The other method is the method of chazok. And we have in Bereishis two brachas. One bracha represents the concept of kibush, of conquest, and the other bracha represents the concept of chazoko. Chazoko means cultivating. Cultivating, whether it's cultivating a land, a piece of land, or cultivating a crop, or cultivating a human being. The term culture is derived from the Latin term cultura, which means to cultivate. Refining a person through cultivation, through an assiduous process of education and training and discipline. That's chazok. But men has resorted primarily to the method of kibush, of conquest, of revolution. And that method was also granted to men by God. Upon the creation of men, the Ribbono Shel Olam blessed men, as it is mentioned by Vorech Eitzo Melekim, Vayimele Melekim, Tzru Uvu Milu Eso Oretz Vichifshua, Urdu Bidgat Hayom, Uveit HaShomayim, Uvichohayo Rimeses Salo. Men was allowed to conquer Earth, to conquer the world, to take possession of the earth and everything that there is in it, to domesticate the animals of the land, to curb the forces of nature. This is the method of kibush, of vichifshua, of conquest. But there is another method, a more sublime method, that is also mentioned in the Torah. When men sinned and they partook of the Eitz Hadaas, and the Ribbono Shel Olam had to eject him out of the Gan Eden, so then it is mentioned, Vaygoresh es Odom, Vayashken Mikedem Ligan Eden Es Akruvim Veislat Acheret Hamitzapeches Lishmir Es Derech Yitzchayim. I explained that plastic already. But that was done by Almighty God because of the transgression by men. But at the very outset, the Ribbono Shel Olam did not want that men be subjected to this revolving sword, and which makes men into a spiritual and mental schizophrenia. But the Ribbono Shel Olam put up men in the Gan Eden to the Ovdo Leshamo, to cultivate the Gan Eden and to guard it. That is the method of Chazok. That is the primary test that is imposed upon men. To refine himself, not through conquest, but through cultivation. Through assiduous devotion to work, education and training. That's Chazok. And Leobdo Lishomro does not only mean cultivation of the earth, that is included. It does not only include cultivation of crops, it also means, and primarily it means, spiritual cultivation, training of human beings, the refinement of men through assiduous disciplining and training, as the Medrash says, Leobdo. Li'ovdo zu derech eretz u'shomro zu talmud. Li'ovdo li'shomro on a spiritual intellectual level has reference to derech eretz and talmud. One can establish roots and can become a teshuv in the world, either through kibush or through chazak. Now we find that the halacha itself recognizes and gives sanction to these two methods. One can acquire possession through kibush. We learn in it that kibush is Canaan. And one can acquire possession through chazakah. But this is not only in regard to material domains, material dimensions. It applies also to spiritual dimensions. One can attain Gdusha through kibush, and one can attain Gdusha through chazakah. We know that the Gdusha Rishayna was affected through kibush. The Gdusha Shmiyo was affected through chazakah. Now, in the Haftorah of Shabbos Chanukah, the Novi describes the prophetic vision that he had. And in that vision, he beheld a candelabrum by Yosef Amara Hadira Biva Yireini Kiisha Sheyea Mishnosi by Yimer Elai Muatore Vema Roisi Vinim Nira Zov Kulo Vigula Oresho Vishivo Nireteo Leo Shivo Vishivo Mutsoke Isla Nireta Shaoresho ושניים ראיתים עליו, אחד ממין עגולו ואחד על שמיו. ואז ואימר על המלך אביב אבי לא מאיר, מוי לעדיני. ויאנה המלך אביב אבי ואימר אליי, הלו יודעתו מוי מוי לה, ואימר לא ידיני. ויאן ואימר אליי לא מאיר, זה דבר שם אל זבוב אלי מאיר, לא בחיו ולא בקיח, אם ברוך יום עד כמצון. Now I will mention a רב חיים נשקוף, something you never heard from me. The question arises, that's a Reb Chaim. When the Malach said to Zecharia, "Hal yodato moi moeyon," so it must be presumed that the Malach knew what he was talking. Zecharia obviously must have known what this vision represented. So how could Zecharia say lo yadin? Then, when Zecharia said, Lo Yadeni, so then the Malach said to him, Zed Vahad Hashem El Zubov Elei Meir, Lo Yibichayil Velo Yibikeach, Ki Yim Biruchi Omar Ad Hashem Tzor. What kind of an answer is it? What does it mean? What connection is there between the candelabrum with seven candles and the two olives on the right and on the left? Now the Yalkut says that the Shnayim Zeisim represent the two Mishuchim that the Jews had. One was the Melech Mimalchit Bizovitz, and the other Moshuach was the Kehen HaMoshuach. In Vaisheni, the Kehen Godol was appointed not to Shemen HaMishcho, but to Ribub Godin. There was no Shemen HaMishcho in Vaisheni, that was Midnas HaLidei Yom. The Kehen Godol can be appointed either through Shemen HaMishcho or through Ribub Godin. So the two Zeisim represented these two Mishuchim. This is what the author said. Actually, it is implied in the Pasuk itself. Vayemer Elai, then we don't say it in the Haftorah. Vayemer Elai Leimeir, Halo Yedato Moele, Vayemer Lo Yadeni, Vayemer, Eile Shnei Vnei Ayitzo. These are the two anointed ones, Hoein Din Aladein Koloi, who stand at the side of Almighty God, the Melech Mimalchus B'Dovid and the Kehen HaGod. In other words, this vision that Zecharia beheld represented the revival of Malchus B'Dovid, end of the institution of Kuhn Agdeiro. Kuhn Agdeiro through Shemen HaMishcho, not through Ribub Godin. We all know that in Vaisheni there was neither a Melech Mimalchus B'Dovid nor was there a Kehen HaMoshuach. This was the difficulty that that existed in the mind of Chayo, he understood. It's true, as the Malach said, Al Yadata Moy Meile. He understood very well that this vision represented the revival, the restoration of Malchus Bizovid and of Kuhun of Deilo Bishemer Amisho. But he didn't understand. In his mind, this vision was supposed to predict the restoration of Malchus Bizovid in the Baisheni. That's why Ischaya said, Voimaloya Dini. It's true, I know what this represents, but I can't understand it. Because in the Baisheni, there is no Malchus Bizovid. There is no Kuna Deo al Dishemen Amisho. And that was the answer that was given by the Malach. Vayam vayimer elai leilea, zed va adishem el zrubo veleilea, loy bichayo veloy bikeach, kim biruch yom adishem tois. Rav Chaim says that the Malach explained a certain Rambam to Ischaya Anot. Now the Rambam raises a question as to why Gdusha Rishayto was kicho lishayto loy kicho lishayto. And Gdusha Shmiyo was kicho lishayto loy kicho lishayto. So the Rambam gives the answer. I mentioned it. Didn't I mention it?
Yeah.
Alright. The Rambam gives the answer because the Kedusha Rishayno was affected through Kibush. Kibush can only last as long, the Kedusha that is affected through Kibush can only last as long as the Kibush lasts. But when the Kibush terminates, so the Kedusha must terminate with it. Even though the Kibush that gave rise to a Kedusha was a kibush al pi adibo, like the kibush of Yeshua. It was al pi novi, it was al pi bezna godol, it was al pi uomi to me. There's certainly no question about the justice that was involved in the conquest by Yeshua. And the kibush by Nebuchadnezzar was a brutal kibush, a kibush that was based upon bloodshed, robbery, violence, and brutality. Still, this was a kibush and that was a kibush. And it's too sure that the fact that a kibush must terminate with the kibush. Once the kibush of Yeshua was terminated, the kedusha had to terminate with it. But the Kedusha Shniyo was not realized through Kibush. The land of Eretz Yisrael was not sanctified to any conquest. There was no conquest. They only settled upon the land because King Cyrus granted them a right. It was Chazak. The land was sanctified through cultivation. A kedusha that is affected through chazoko never terminates. This is what the Malach said to Ischaya. When Ischaya said, Lo yadeini, to the Malach. In other words, I can't understand this vision. This vision is supposed to represent the Baisheni. But the Baisheni, in the Baisheni, there is no Malchus Bizovi. There is no Shemanam. There is no Kein HaMashiach. How can you speak of Shnei Zeisim Oleo, Echad Menin Agulo, V'Echad Al Shmoilo? The answer was, you think Chayo, we are making a mistake, Chayo. Chayo was laboring under the notion that the only way to affect Dusha is through Kibush. And if it is through Kibush, so of course, it's Kitchel Shaito or Kitchel of the Love. But there is another method of affecting the show. Through Chazoko. And Chazoko, the halacha in regard to Chazoko is that Kitchel Shaito or Kitchel of the Love. That means that Limei Samoshiach, there will be no necessity for any other Kiddush. It will be a Hemshech of the Kiddush of the Baisheni. And the Nevuah that had reference to Baisheni also. Ipso facto had reference to Yemei HaMashiach. Because it's one Kedusha. You think that the Kedusha that will be affected in the Baisheni will be through conquest? No. conquest was appropriate and was adapted in the time of Yeshua. But now the method employed by Almighty God is not conquest. Not even conquest that is based upon a people. It is another method. It is the method of Chazakah. Loi b'chayil, v'loi b'keach, in the ruchi, Yom HaShem Tzoi. The Baal Sheni will not be built up through kibbutz. The Second Commonwealth will be built up through Chazakah. Through assiduous devotion to the cultivation of the land. And not only cultivation of the land, but cultivation of the Jew. That is more important. Loi b'chayil, v'loi b'keach, in the ruchi, Yom HaShem Tzoi. And that method never terminates. It is everlasting. Kibush must end. Now, when Antiochus Epiphanes issued a decree that every Jew is to Hellenize himself and is to submit to the pagan cult of the Syrian Greeks, then there were various segments in Jewry. There were Jews, and it was not a small segment, who were on the side of the Syrian Greeks, who believed that the only way to attain happiness and to exist is by succumbing to the cult of the Greeks, the Mishyavnim. And that was popular. You know, Latin? Yeah, a little too early for the Sunday here. So, that was one faction in Jewish. Then, there was another faction in Jewry, the Hasidim, who were ready to give away their lives for the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and not surrender to Yovel, but they were reluctant to fight against the Greeks. They believed that it was proper for the Jew to enclose himself in the caves and to wait until the enemy comes, and then to fight. And then there was a small segment among the Jews in those days that was represented by Matthew and his followers, a very small segment, who believed that it was incumbent upon the Jews not only to give away their lives, but to go out into the fields, to go out to the enemy and to fight the enemy. Now the Hasidim, who refused to fight, and who on Shabbat even refused to fight back when they were confronted by the enemy, they were very sincere. Now it is not as some self-appointed scholars declared that the halacha that pikuach nefesh is deiche was only established in those days by Matisyahu. Only one who is not versed in the history of the Jews can say that. Only one who took a cursory glance of Hashminoim can say that. If one reads Hashminoim carefully, he knows, will immediately detect that the Hasidim did not claim that it is forbidden to be Michal Shabbat, even for the sake of saving the human life. But the contention of the Hasidim was that inasmuch as the goal of Antiochus Epiphanes was to force the Jews to be Michal Shabbat, that was one of the theories. That consequently, it was incumbent upon the Jews to show the enemy that the Jews will not violate the Sabbath even at the expense of their lives. And it was in light of the halacha of Bishat Hashmat, one is mechuyev to give way his life, even for our Kesedim Tzad. Consequently, there the view of the Hasidim was the true ordinarily, it is the biggest mitzvah to violate the Sabbath for the purpose of saving the human life. But in this specific situation, where the Jew is forced to fight and defend himself against the cult of the Syrian Greeks, whose purpose is to coerce them into Chilul Shabbat, in this specific situation, one should not fight back. But they committed a blunder. Because if the officer of the Syrian Greeks had come over to the Jew on Shabbat and had said to him, now you violate the Sabbath, if not I'm going to kill you, then true indeed, it would have been the duty of the Jews to give way the life. But when they were confronted, when the Jews in the caves were confronted, the Hasidim were confronted with the enemy, then they weren't violating, then they wouldn't be violating the Sabbath. Because of a decree that was issued at that moment to them, then they would be violating the Sabbath, not for the purpose of complying with the instructions given by the tyrant, but on the contrary, to fight that. Under that circumstance, it was a mitzvah to be mechal Shabbat. It is a mitzvah to give way the life, and not to mechal Shabbat, only when the Chilul Shabbat would be in conformity to the demands of the tyrant. But in those circumstances, it was not in conformity to the demand of the tyrant. On the contrary, it was in defiance to the tyrant that they would be violating the Sabbath. The tyrant wanted the Hasidim to remain silent and to be killed. Under those circumstances, it was the Kiddush Hashem to fight back, not to give way the life. But the Hasidim committed a blunder. It was a mistake. Not that the Hasidim's view was that Pikuach Nefesh is not the Yichas Shabbos. But it is a historical fact that the overwhelming majority of the devoted and pious Jews were laboring under an erroneous notion. Namely, that it was forbidden to be Michal Shabbos in self-defense, and also that it was not proper for the Jew to come out of the cave and fight the enemy. But Matisyahu entertained a different view. True, Matisyahu endeavored to conform to the goal set by the Novi Chayo. Loi b'chayo v'loi b'keyach, kim b'rucham al Hashem Tzoreis. The goal of doing the Baal Sheni was to effect everything through Chazaka, or not through Kibush. Kibush was declared proper in the time of Yeshua, but not in the time of the Baal Sheni. But sometimes a situation arises when the Jew has nothing else to do but to fight. And that was the situation that prevailed in the mind of Matisyahu in those days. For the majority of the pious Jews, the Hasidim dissented from that view. They dissented because, in their opinion, it was a deviation from the mandate of Loi b'chayo v'loi b'keyach, kim b'ruchi yom ha'ad Hashem Tzoreis. And they fought. A small group of heroic Jews fought against the mighty empires of the Greeks. And they wielded a victory over them. That was an S. And it is interesting The Gemara in Shabbat says, Rishona Acheres, Kobum V'yosum Yonte. Why Rishona Acheres? Why Rishona Acheres? Why not the same year? Apparently, the Chachomim were hesitant to declare it as a permanent holiday until a year will expire, and it will be seen the consequences of this triumph. Why? Because even the Hashminoim were laboring under a very difficult dilemma. It was not easy for the Hashminoim to resort to arms. That seemed to be so repugnant to the Derech of the Jews, which is Loibichai, Loibichayach, Kimberuchi, Omar Hashem Tzorek. It seemed so repugnant to all the objectives of joy. But still, they decided that under those circumstances, it must be done. We must fight. We must, but the Yisrael felt that under those circumstances, it was essential to kill the Jew who bowed to the idol, to demonstrate to the Jews that they should not feel that. Pray to the Jews that they should not feel that Yadus has no future. But it was not easy for them to do it. And they did it, and they resorted to arms only because of one consideration, as an indispensable means to enable the Jews to restore Malchut Yisrael, so that the Jews will be able to live their own lives in conformity to the mandates of the Torah. But except for that, there was no justification to resort to arms. Now the question arose in the mind of the Chachamim: all will be well if this victory will only be used as a means towards a restoration of Chazak as the permanent medium of effecting Kibush. But if Chas V'Sholem, this Kibush, this victory will be used by the Jews as a stepping stone towards other military victories, then everything is in vain. They couldn't declare Hanukkah as a holiday. They had to wait for a year and to see what impression this victory will have upon the Jews. How the Jews will react? And the first thing that the Hashinoim did was to enter the Beis HaMikdash, to purify the Beis HaMikdash, and to rededicate the Beis HaMikdash. And they decided to use only pure oil. And they lighted the one cruse of oil which was capable of giving, of burning only for one day. But the Nes occurred, and it burned for 7 days, 5 days. Why was that Nes important? Why was that Nes important? Suppose it wouldn't have burned for 8 days, so what would have happened? So the Jews would not have fulfilled the mitzvah of Hadlokas Amneo. They would be anusim. So what? What tragedy is there? There were so many years when Jews were unable to be kind of mitzvah of Daled Nini. During the First World War, there are so many towns in Russia and in Poland, in Lithuania and in Latvia, in Romania, where Jews were not able to be kind of mitzvah of Daled Nini. So they weren't kind. Onus Rachmane Patr. Why was it so important, this myth? And why was this Nes more important in the mind of the Chachamim than the Nes of the Muhammad? How could we even compare the significance that resides in the Nes of, of the Ner Chanukah with the significance that resided in the Ner of Muhammad. Just let us imagine, if the Hasidim had not wielded a victory over the Syrian Greeks, what would have happened to the whole world? Not only to the Jewish people, but all of mankind. All of mankind would have turned into a jungle. And what would have happened if the next Hanukkah had not occurred? If the crude of oil would have burned only for one day, and then it would have gone out, nothing would have happened. For 7 days, the Jews would not have fulfilled the mitzvah of Ba'alei Chatan Eretz. No tragedy. So why did the Chachomim attach so much significance to this nest of Nehanekeh? But the fact that the cruse of oil, which naturally could only burn for one day, burned for 8 days, was an indication from God that the Ribbono Shel Olam approved of the method employed by the Hasmonai. In contrast to the shite that was entertained by the Hasidim. That was the significance of the Ner Chanukah. Because if the Hasidim had committed a blunder in resorting to arms, then the Ribbono Shel Olam would not have brought this miracle. Why? Why should the Ribbono Shel Olam infringe upon the laws of nature just to enable the Jews to be mekayem the mitzvah? But the Ribbono Shel Olam wrought this miracle in order to indicate to the Jews, and in those days there was no Navi, they had no other way of getting an indication from God that the Ribbono Shel Olam approved of their method. That was the indication. Ribbono Shel Olam approved of what Hasidim did. True, the goal set for us is loy b'chayil v'loy b'keyach. Ki miruchi yomar b'shem toi. Kibush was declared by Almighty God as adapted in the time of Yeshua. But not in the Vayishen. But sometimes a situation arises when the Jews have to resort to arms in order to defend the Jewish people, and to defend it all. And that was the approval that was given by God in the Ness of Chanukah. But they were not ready to declare Chanukah the holiday as yet. Because Chanukah, the Ness of Chanukah, would be of great significance only if Jewry as a whole would respond properly to that Ness. They had to wait a year and see how the Jewish people will respond to that mess. How the Jewish people will utilize the military victories attained by the Hasidim. Whether they will utilize only for the purpose of going back to Chazakah, or they'll utilize it only as a stepping stone towards further kibushim. So they waited a year. Then, after a year had expired, they took notice of the fact that Jewry as a whole responded properly to the Ness. Consequently, they declared it as a holiday. Now, when they attained victory over the Syrian Greeks, they celebrated it with valid meaning in the same way as a Jew is to celebrate Sukkot. Why? Now they didn't, it is not mentioned in the Hasidim that they dwelled in booths for 8 days. They celebrated only with the Dalet meaning. Apparently they adopted the mitzvah that is based upon the motive of Chagarotis, but they did not adopt in that Chanukah the mitzvah that is based upon the motive of Chagasukis. The motif Chagasukis, the mitzvah of Sukkis, stems from the motif of Geironechi. The mitzvah of Dalet meaning stems from the concept of Tosha. And the Hasidim, when they attained victory, and when they remembered how they had to fight, how they had to hide in caves and in forests, in jungles, and they had to deport themselves like animals of the field. They remember those days. So they realized how important it is sometimes to have roots, to have one's own land. Because if one has no roots, if he has no land of his own, if he's not established, if he's a ghetto, then he truly can be tossed by all winds. Then he has to hide himself in a cave and lead the life of an animal. So in order to demonstrate to the Jews that Pesach is important, if it is coupled to Yevanech, they had to celebrate it with Dalet Minim. Dalet Minim being the symbol of the concept of security and self-defense and self-protection. Now we can very well understand as to why the Shammai say Pirsivei Kineged Pori Achad. Chag HaSukkos has the motive of Sukkos. And on Chag HaSukkos we offer 70 Pori to atone for the Umei Sayor. Chag HaSukkos is dedicated to the Umei Sayor, dedicated to the concept of brotherhood of men, that we have to be devoted to men, and we have to seek peace among all the nations of the world. But when we bring the Purim Kineged Umei Sayor, so then we are Pichis Vehilich, because the Pichis Vehilich is symbolic of the Umei Sayor, simply because the whole civilization of the Umei Sayor is based upon Kiddush. The Umei Sayor are not dedicated to Chazok. Kibush! Tru, vu, milu es oret, vichif shuo, und gu, bizgat ha-shamay! Gato, v'yasayom! Now it is the characteristic feature of Kibush that is Pechid Eilat. We find in the Niel, if I had time, I would go over these sukkim. But actually in the Niel, there is a whole chapter dealing with Hanukkah. I mean, that was predicted before the next Hanukkah. Now that is, no, I can't, it will take me to 3 o'clock. No, but one second, I just want, it is, you can find it out for yourself by going over the chapter Yudalef of the meal. V'ani bishnatachat lido yovesh amodi, omdi limarziku limoy isloi. There'll be 3 kings in Forah. That appears to have reference to King Xerxes of Persia, who accumulated a lot of wealth and waged a war against Greece. King Xerxes waged war against Greece. The Omar Melach, well, some say that it's Ahasuerus. Well, the rest are not. Some say that Ahasuerus is Xerxes. The Omar Melach Dibeir U'moshal Min Shel Rav V'yosot Yosoinei, that is Alexander, King Alexander. U'chiyomdei Tishover Malchusei. So all the Mephoshim say that at the point, at the highest point in his mighty empire, then it will start declining. When did Alexander reach the highest point in his empire? Just before his death. Just before his death. When he stood upright and he reached the climax of his mighty empire, then it started to decline. Uchiyom dei tishover malchusei, viseichet upon his death, it was divided into 4 dominions. Viseichot le'arba ruchis ha-shamayim, v'lo la'achisei, v'lo yichimoshle ha-shamoshal, then it will be divided into 4 dominions, and then 1 dominion will be the dominion of the Syrian Greeks, and there we have Antiochus Epiphanus, and he is mentioned in that chapter, not by name, but he is mentioned of all the decrees, of all the decrees that he issued, and even of the Misyavni, even the Misyavni among the Jews are mentioned, Uvovoitim Kitim. V'nicho v'sho v'zoham al briskedesh v'yosor, in other words, a pagan altar will be erected. V'sho v'yovin al izi briskedesh v'zrei mimenu yamdu v'chilu amigdosh. There will be Jews who will join the forces of the Syrian Greeks. They see what on the Vinosma attitude, and they'll put up the idol in the Migdosh. Umashir Bris Yachnit Bahalakri, Vam Yedei Elekov Yaziku Viosu, Maskilom Yavinu, and so on and so forth. But it is remarkable that O'Neill describes the highest, the climax of the mighty empire of Alexander the Great by the expression Uchiyom Dei Tishovei Amalchus, as he will stand upright, his Malchus will break. Why? Because this is a characteristic feature of Kibush. It doesn't make any difference what Kibush. Even if it is a Kibush that is based upon the Shah. Even Kibush Yerushua. It's Peichet Veilach. At the moment that a Kibush is attained, at that moment it's the highest. When Japan surrendered unconditional the United States, the United States had reached the highest point. But as year after year expires, that Kibush, the prestige of the United States, the authority of the United States, the might of the United States, was just Peichet Veilach. Peichet Veilach. Peichet Veilach. Because it's a characteristic feature of Kibush that it must be Peichet Veilach. Chazokeh is just the reverse. Chazokeh, if you resort to Chazokeh, through an assiduous process of cultivation, whether it is an assiduous process of cultivation applied to land or an assiduous process of cultivation applied to man, so it's Meisi Veilach. At first, it glows very faintly, but day by day, it waxes in brightness. Now, the question that arose between Bishamai and Bishilel was, is the manner in which the Nechanike are to be laid to correspond with the process of Kibush or with the process of Chazok? It is a characteristic feature of Kibush that it is Peiches Veilech. And the Pori Achag are first in Veilchim. Why? Because the Pori Achag were offered for the Umisayvom, and the Umisayvom are dedicated completely to Kibush. There is very little of Chazoki consciousness among the Umisayvom. There are a few among them, but on the whole, they are dedicated to Kibush. Consequently, the Pori Achag for the Umisayvom had to be Peiches Veilech. We had to start with 13, then 12, and then 11, and 10, until we reach 7, on the last day of Sukkot. Are the Hanukkah candles to be lit according to the diminution of Kibush or according to the progress of Chazok? So the Shammai say, Peichet Veilech. Why? Why did we have in the Hanukkah? Why did the Chachomim declare that the Neiris Hanukkah are to be lit throughout the generations, every year, 4 days? Because the nest of Neir Hanukkah was a divine indication to Jewry that the Ribbono Shel Olam approved of the method employed by the Hashroim. What kind of a method did they employ? Kibush! Kibush is the last resort, too, but Kibush! Consequently, the manner in which the Hanukkah can establish has to correspond with the characteristic feature of Kibush. Kineget Pori Achad. Just as the Pori Achad are first in the Heirin. Because Kibush is Peichet Veilech. So also Neiris Chanukah is Veilech. But the Silel say, and we pass by the Silel, true, the Neir Chanukah occurred as an indication of a divine approval of the method employed by the Hashnoim. The method employed by the Hashnoim was the method of Kibush. But that was resorted to only as a last resort. There was nothing else to do. But not Chas V'Shalom is a stepping stone to further kibushim. No, our goal is Loi B'Chayil, Loi B'Kiyah, Kim B'Ruchem HaShem Tzoreis. That was resorted to by the Hashnoim only as a means to Chazokeh. Consequently, the manner in which the Neiris Chanukah are to be lit is to correspond with the typical progression of Chazokeh. Now, this day,